clock. So let's learn a little about lighting candles in the Beis HaKnesses and some related matters, and then we'll talk about the fifth day of Chanukah. Okay, there is a very interesting halacha, which is not really a halacha, it's really a minhag. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that we light candles in the Beis HaKnesses, which is a shocking halacha. Because the mitzvah, as clear as day, does not make any mention of lighting candles in the Beis HaKnesses anywhere in the Gemara. And in fact, the Gemara says the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neris is Ner Ish Ubeisa. The mitzvah of Hadlakas Neris is upon the bayis. The shul is not the bayis. No one lives in the shul, at least. I mean, if the people live in the shul, then the shul is their fine, then it's their bayis. But if you don't have people living in the shul, then there should not be a need to light Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah clearly is Ner Ish Ubeisoy. So what's going on? Not only do we light candles in the shul, we have a whole Shulchan Aruch exactly where in the shul you should light candles, when you should light candles, who should light the candles. There's a whole elaborate Shulchan Aruch, and the biggest chiddush is that we make a bracha. A bracha, it should be a bracha levatala. A bracha levatala, the mitzvah is Ner Ish Ubeisoy. What exactly is going on? So the answer is, you're right. There's no makar. There is no source for this whatsoever. It's purely a minhag, Jewish custom. And this takes us to the core of the issue. Does a person make a bracha upon observing a minhag? Okay, you have a minhag, pick for yourself any minig that the people they have a minig to a shussel chala. The Shabbos after Pesach, they put a key in the chala. Okay, you think put a key in the chala. Ever hear that minig? The shussel chala? Do you make a bracha? Absurd. You don't make a bracha on putting a key. First of all, who says even do the minig? If you do the minig, you don't make a bracha. Rosh Hashanah, the minig is you have round chalas. The whole year you have braided chalas. Dip the apple, you dip the chala in honey. Instead of dipping the chala in salt, you dip chala in honey. You make a bracha on the minog? Since when do you make a bracha on a minhag? A minig is a very nice thing. It captures the essence, the flavor of Yados, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But you don't make a bracha. When the Shatz benches Tal V'Geshem, he wears a kittel. That's a minhag. Does he make a bracha when he puts on the kittel? Of course not. Yet, the minhag of lighting Chanukah candles is unique. It's in a class by itself where it is such a powerful minhag, we actually make a bracha. The only other minhag that I'm aware of that we make a bracha upon is Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, Lefi Minhag Ashkenaz. According to Minhag Ashkenaz, every single person, when he recites Chatzi Halel on Rosh Chodesh, he makes a Baracha. That's not a Halacha. It's not even a complete Halel. We go out of our way not to recite the entire Halel to show that it's not really a festival. We go out of our way to break up the halal in by leaving out two major sections to show that it's not halal. So why are we saying it's a minhag? It's a minhag because since once upon a time Rosh Chodesh was in fact a Yom Tov, and it will once be a Yom Tov once again in the future when Mashiach will come. So to remind us of our past and to encourage us to prepare for the future, we make a bracha. When it's a minhag, and yet on this minhag we make a bracha. That's the only other minhag upon which we make a bracha. Now, if I would be brave, I would suggest to you that it's toluy ze bezeh. What do I mean to say that one minhag depends upon the other? The only real minhag to make a bracha is on Rosh Chodesh. Because really, Rosh Chodesh should be a Yom Tov. It's only because of the Chet HaEgel, it was taken away from us, and we do not have these 12 additional holidays and their regular days. However, to remember what used to be and what will be once again, so we say Hallel. On Chanukah, you don't have that. Why not? Because on Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh is one of the 8 days of Chanukah. And even if it would not be Rosh Chodesh, we would make a Baracha on Hallel, because on Chanukah, for all 8 days, we make a Baracha on Hallel. So it comes out that there's a collateral damage on Chanukah. There's horrible collateral damage on Chanukah. Terrible collateral damage. Because ordinarily, there's a Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh, we have a beautiful minhag to recite Hallel. Not the whole Hallel, because it's not a real holiday. But it's a zecher for the holiday that was and will be. So we recite Chatzi Hallel. And it's so choviv, it's so precious, we make a bracha. But on Chanukah, you can't do that. Because Chanukah, it's totally swept away. You wouldn't even know that it's Rosh Chodesh. Because there are 8 days of Chanukah, and every one of the 8 days of Chanukah, you say a complete Hallel with a bracha. So Rosh Chodesh, this Rosh Chodesh coming up tomorrow, is losing, it's losing the bracha on the minhag. The bracha that we make on the minhag of reciting Hallel is getting swept under the rug. It's collateral damage. Rosh Hashanah also, that happens to a very different reason. Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Hallel because of, that's a whole different reason. But there's enormous collateral damage. So I'm suggesting to you, this is a wild idea. I am suggesting to you that because of the collateral damage that we've done to Hallel by not reciting, by not being able to show that we make a bracha on the minhag of reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, we make it up by making a bracha on another minhag. And what minhag is that? Lighting the candles. The bracha we make on lighting the candles on Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses, I am suggesting to you, is an outgrowth of the collateral damage that has that occurs on Chanukah, in this that we cannot make a bracha on Hallel for Rosh Chodesh. So we take another minhag, the minhag of lighting candles in the Beis HaKnesses, and we show that on a minhag that's chaviv, we make a bracha, and we make a bracha all 8 days to make up for the one day that we're not making a bracha on a minhag. And the only minhag that we make a bracha on that I'm aware of is Hallel Rosh Chodesh. That would have been swept under the rug on Chanukah. Can't be. You can't do that. You can't go and take away the only bracha you make on a minhag. So we have to make it up. You know how we're going to make it up? We're going to make a bracha on a minhag every single day of Chanukah. Where? In the Beis HaKnesses. When we light the menorah. Because lighting the menorah in essence is also, this is a whole different topic, is also an expression of Hallel V'Hoida. The Rambam, this is a different topic, but the Rambam learns that the lighting of the Chanukah menorah is an expression. It's not a mitzvah. When you light it, when you do mitzvah, you take a little vineshug, you can be a litvak. You can just shake it. That's it. When you light Chanukah candles, in the words of the Rambam, it's mashm, the lighting of the Chanukah candles is an expression of giving Shevach V'Hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hallel is certainly Shevach V'Hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We make a bracha on the minhag of saying Hallel Rosh Chodesh. We can't do the Chanukah. So instead, we're going to take another expression of Hallel V'Hoidah, which is the lighting of the candles, and make a bracha on a minhag, not in the house. The house is a halacha, you make a bracha in the house, but on this minhag, all 8 days in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, that is my suggestion as to why we make a bracha. Now there's another idea that I told this to you, I spent my whole shiur on this in the last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was, and this is a very powerful idea. I don't know who says this, but I see over here, Nidik really brings it down in a few words. One of the footnotes, and reminding me of this idea, what we spent a lot of time on, is that the reason why today we make a bracha on the lighting of the Chanukah menorah is because we do not today light the Chanukah menorah in the street. Today there is no requirement to light the Chanukah menorah in the street mi Pesach beisoy mi bachutz. According to the Gemara, the primary location to light your Chanukah menorah is outdoors, in the street. You have to get a glass case, a plexiglass. See all these plexiglass things now? Okay, the whole world now.
Israel.
What? In Israel they have. They have that in Eretz Yisrael. They have it. Even Eretz Yisrael, the Poskim said there's no obligation, even Bizman Hazeh, in Eretz Yisrael, to light outdoors. It's a very beautiful thing to do. It's very nice to do. Because after the Churban in Golos, there's no requirement. It's a dangerous world. Even in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so. In Eretz Yisrael, obviously, it's much more you can do in Eretz Yisrael. But we live in difficult times. Certainly in Chutz La'aretz, when we're living amongst Goyim, it's not so simple to go and to show your Judaism, to wear your Judaism on your sleeve. I know Lubavitch doesn't like this. My own cousin, Nat Lewin, he's from the biggest constitutional lawyers that tried to show that in America Jews should be allowed to wear their religion on their sleeve. But Chazal more or less say that in Golis it's not a good idea to wear your religion on your sleeve because it's going to attract anti-Semitism, hatred. So therefore, we light indoors today. We do not light outdoors. We have no obligation to light the Chanukah menorah today outdoors in Golos. And many places can say even in Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, this takes away from the purpose of the mitzvah. The mitzvah has two main parts. To do a ma'isa hadlaka, you yourself should know that it's Chanukah. Number two, pirsumei nisa, for the world, for everyone to see. So if we're going to light the Chanukah menorah indoors, even by your window, not too many people are going to see from your window your Chanukah menorah. Some will, some won't. It's not the same. And certainly those people that don't even light, by the way, they light mamash on the dining room table. A lot of people light like that. A lot of Hasidim especially. Most Hasidim do not light at the window. Most real Hasidim light on their dining room table. They don't even light by the window. In Golos, there's no halacha light by the window. It's a minig, you light by the window, but it's not even a requirement. So where is the pirsumei nisa? So therefore, as an outgrowth of being in Golos and not being able to light outdoors, Chazal decided we should transfer the Pirsumei Nisa to the Beis HaKnesset. Thank you for the coffee. Chazal decided we should transfer the Pirsumei Nisa to the Beis HaKnesset. So when we in the Beis HaKnesset light the Chanukah menorah and we make a bracha, that lighting and that bracha is replacing the menorah being put in the street. Because the menorah cannot, if the menorah was put in the street, everyone would see everyone else's menorah. There would be Pirsumei Nisa for the Tzibur. But because we cannot do that today, so we only have Pirsumei Nisa for the Bnei Bayis, we don't have for the Tzibur, so we transfer the Pirsumei Nisa for the Tzibur to the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, now there's another idea why we light the Chanukah in Beis HaKnesses. This idea touched upon the Jewish that we said last week. And that is, we had a whole long discussion that the miracle of Chanukah took place in an era when it's a controversial topic, but it's definitely true. And we discussed this and we learned about Al Hanisim at night, on Thursday night, those who came. And that is that in the era, in the generation of the Chashmonoim, basically 99% of Klal Yisrael were not religious. They abandoned their Yadus. They were not observant. It's a shocking thing to say. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik said it beferish. The Reish Sharav of Aaron Levine, Hashem Yikum Doma, said it beferish. And many other poskim said exactly the same thing. And the more you study Chanukah, the more it's clear as day that this was the fact. And the entire essence, the nature of the miracle of Chanukah was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Klal Yisrael was going to be extinct. They were heading down a path where there would be no one left. Even Yochanan Kohen Gadol, after 80 years of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, abandoned Yadus. And that's how the Al HaNisim begins. Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It was in a generation of Matisyahu, the son of Yochanan, who also gave up Yadus. We emphasize that it was in the generation of Yochanan who gave up Yadus. That's how low we fell. And the only one that was, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this cannot be. I cannot allow my people to just disappear off the face of the earth. The Atah Yu Hashem, Berachamecho horabim, a term that we only use by Techiyas HaMesim. Omadito lohem be'eis tzorosom. You rekindled the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. You rekindled Klal Yisrael. The Reish Rav says that when it says that he cannot find one pach that was pure, it's a mashal. It's a parable. They couldn't find one Jew who was observant.
How do we know this? Is there any
You have to read the whole book. Read Rabbi Gladstein. He's a whole entire chapter citing all the sources. There's a lot more than what he says. There's a lot more to this. And it explains a lot. He has a lot of good stuff here. Explains a lot of things. Rabbi Doniel Gladstein. I'll show you the book. I have it over here. Here's the book. By Daniel Gladstein.
An astounding statement.
Yes, see the book? Here's the book. You probably, it's backwards on the screen because the screen shows it to you backwards. It's called The Light and the Splendor by Daniel Gladstein. Someone wrote up all of his drushes. He gives a lot, he's a very big Talmud Chacham with a lot of drushes, and he has an entire chapter devoted to this topic. Therefore, now with that idea, this is part of the idea. Chazal were misakin that you should light candles in the Beis HaKnesses. That's why. To be moitze, the people who don't know how to light. There are people who come to shul who don't know how to read, who don't know how to daven, who don't know how anything about mitzvahs. Chazal were misakin, everyone should be a Chabad shaliach on Chanukah. Since the entire nature of the Yom Tov of Chanukah was a Yom Tov where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was witness to the fact that Klal Yisrael was on the verge of extinction, they gave up their religion, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to inspire them to do teshuva, to return, we have to follow in Hashem's ways on Chanukah. We have to light a Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses so that anyone people who don't know the Aleph Beis, they can come to the shul and they can see it. And by them seeing it, they're yoytze with re'iyah. What's part of the mitzvah? The mitzvah is haroyeh. Now, you're supposed to make a bracha, but if you don't make a bracha, you're also yoytze. The Beis HaKnesses is the bias of the whole Klal Yisrael. A shul is not members only, even though on all of the shuls that I daven in now, there are signs that say members only, okay? All the shuls davening, they recently put up signs, members only, no trespassing, because of all of the corona restrictions and the government coming into the shuls and reporters coming into shuls, so it says members only, no restriction, no trespassing. But generally, a Beis HaKnesses is the property, is given over to the entire tzibur. It's the tzibur's bias. So by lighting the Beis HaKnesses, you're being moitze, the obligation of all of the irreligious people. When you light the light candles in the Beis HaKnesses, you know who they're lighting for? They're lighting for all Acheinu B'nei Yisrael who don't know Aleph Beis, who don't even know the first thing about Yadus. This is their bias. The Beis HaKnesses, they're welcome to come here. Halavai, they should be Chozer B'Shuva. Halavai, we should be able to inspire them to come to Tshuva. But we have to remind ourselves, it's a reminder for us that there are many Jews out there who are lost, just like we were all lost in the era of the Chashmonaim when Yadus was forgotten about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came forward, the sorrow was they gave up their religion. It was a time when Yochanan Kohen Gadol, even though he came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 80 years, on year 81, he said, I'm not interested in Judaism anymore. I give up. That's how bad it was. We were all in that situation. So when we see today throughout the world Jews who are totally alienated, totally irreligious, all the Jews who voted for Biden, we're lighting Hanukkah candles for all of those Jews who voted for Biden. Ramachol, you hear me? That's who we're lighting for. That's our obligation. That is our duty on Chanukah. They should be choizer b'shuva. Just like we were in that situation in the time of the Chashmonai. Okay, so we have over here, I give you what he saw for three mahalchim. three mahalchim in why we light Hanukkah candles. I give you a wild pshat, my pshat. Number one, not one, but it's number whatever it is, it's because we've taken away on Hanukkah the only minog that we make a bracha on. And that cannot be tolerated. We cannot go and insult the only minog that we make a bracha to sweep it under the rug. It's Hanukkah, so we're not saying halal because of Rosh Chodesh, we're saying halal because it's Hanukkah. So we sweep it under the rug, we make a bracha because it's Hanukkah. So we have to make it up. How do we make it up? We make a bracha on the minhag of lighting Hanukkah candles because the lighting of the Hanukkah candles in and of itself is an expression of Chodesh. So we make it up. Number two, we make a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses because it is the replacement of not being able to light Mipesach Beis HaMivachutz. Number three, we're lighting Hanukkah candles for all of those neshamas that have been forgotten about, been alienated, that have abandoned Yiddishkeit. We were in their position. We know what it's like. We know what it's like. We were there. We were all there in the time of the Hashmonaim. And now, Baruch Hashem, we're fortunate to be religious, to have been given a Jewish education by our parents. Our parents sent us, gave us a Jewish note that's worth, it's priceless. Every person here was given by their parents. Yadus, if you're here today, that means that they put in you something that you're here. Okay, you're here learning Torah. And unfortunately, there are many people out there that don't never had that opportunity. No fault to them at all. But it's very, very sad. They don't know what they're missing. But they're part of Klal Yisrael. And even though we don't go buy the matzah, I don't hear people running around buying matzah for all of the unaffiliated Jews. You don't find them running around doing other things to them, but Hanukkah candles, this is their bias. The shul is their bias. Ner Yishu Beisoy, we're lighting from that for them, and we're also lighting to remind us that maybe we should all join Chabad and become shluchim and go ask our next door neighbor, did you put on tefillin today?
By the way, in the time of the Hashmonaim, he did neirot bechatzot kodshecha.
In the courtyards.
Not in the homes.
In the courtyard. Okay, that's a big topic. What those words mean? The chatzor. So you want to suggest the chatzor is kodshecha. Al Kalman is suggesting that's what it says. Okay, there's something to that. Okay, there's a whole different topic. And in the Hanami, you're right.
So did you just make an argument for public menorah lighting?
There's something to it. No one's going to tell you not. No one's going to tell you not. Yes, I did make an argument. I didn't make an argument. I'm not anti-Chabad. I'm all for it. I love Chabad. I have one of the original, I from the first cards of Tzivos Hashem. I was in elementary school when the Chabad started Tzivos Hashem. That's like a children's group. I still have my card. I have it in the attic. I have it stashed away. It's a collector's item. I'm from the earliest card-carrying members of the Tzivos Hashem. I'm a Chabad guy. I have no problem with Chabad. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bevarach. I didn't get to become a general. You're right. How do you know all that? I didn't get to a general. I'm up for the low-ranking privates. I didn't get too far in the hierarchy. All right, let's go further. Okay, so I gave you three ideas. There's obviously a lot more to it.
I go back to Sergeant Shabbos.
If the Lubavitch Rebbe was alive today, there wouldn't be a living creature that wouldn't flock to him and bow down and kiss his toes. That's the way it is. Can you imagine if he would be alive today? The whole world would come to him. Chaval al diavdin. Okay, let's now go forward. Now let's discuss some of the unique halachas by the basin. Now there's a fourth element of reason which really I think explains most of the halacha. The fourth reason is like this. Rav Kalman really touched upon this. When did the mitzvah, this is a big topic, Rabbi Gladstein has an entire chapter devoted to this. When did the mitzvah of lighting candles begin? Did the mitzvah of, like we, what do we do? Asher, kiddushanu, b'mitzvah, v'tzvonu, l'halik, ner shel Chanukah. We have all the halachas, shulchan aruch, how to light, where to light, when to light, the time, b'chulu, b'chulu, you know, it goes on forever and ever. When exactly did this mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shel Chanukah, when was it instituted? There's a very big debate. Some argue immediately, the following year. Others argue, no, it began with the Churban Bayis Sheni, about 200 years later. Well, how could that possibly be? How then did they observe Hanukkah for 200 years from the time of the Hanukkah miracle until the Churban Bayis Sheni? The only way they observed Hanukkah was they said Hallel. They said Hallel for 8 days. They said Al Hanisim in Shmoyne Esrei and in benching. That is what they did for 200 years. What about lighting Hanukkah candles? Not necessary. They're lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen on Hanukkah goes into the Heichal, like he does every single day, and he does Hatovah Saneros and Hadlokah Saneros. Every day, they light candles. They're lighting candles. So how do we participate? We don't light our own candles. There's only one menorah in Klal Yisrael. In the Beis HaMikdash. What, I'm going to mimic the menorah? I'm going to become my own Kohen Gadol? You don't do that. There's one menorah. The Kohen lights the menorah in the Heichal. Whoever lights the menorah, lights the menorah. How do we participate? We say Hallel Shalem. 8 days a year, we say the complete Hallel. We say Al Hanisim. Maybe, do they eat donuts? I don't know. Do they eat latkes? I don't know. But they said Hallel for sure. And they said Al Hanisim, but they did not light Hanukkah candles according to this approach. So how did it come about, light Hanukkah candles? When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans, the Churban Bayis Sheni, when it was destroyed and it came Hanukkah, the Anshei Knesses HaGedoyle was still operational, and the people felt awful. Here, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. During these 8 days, we're saying Hallel to commemorate the miracle of Hanukkah. Last year, when there was the Beis HaMikdash, we connected in our minds, and somehow it was well known when the Kohen entered the Heichal to light the menorah every single day. Maybe they opened up the doors, were able to see from far, like a Rebbe. They all go to the Rebbe's today to watch the Rebbe light Hanukkah candles. So maybe in the Beis HaMikdash, they were able to peek inside. Maybe they opened up the doors wide, and from outside in the Azara, people were able to see the Kohen light the menorah. Very possible, very realistic, that's true. Okay, it could be there was a big ceremony, you gotta get tickets. You gotta get tickets to be able to come. Maybe there were miracles. They were able to squeeze into the Azara thousands of people, and they would open up the doors, and they can watch from far. It wasn't such a long distance. Not so far, the distance from standing in the Azara to being able to see what's going on inside. That's how it was done. It was a big event. Okay, today they would live stream it for sure. Are you allowed to go take a camera? Think about it. Today, is it Osir? Why is it Osir today? Let's say we have a Beis Midrash today. Can you go take a video camera? Okay, and live stream the Kohen lighting the Hanukkah candles inside of the Azara for the whole world to see. Why not? Why not? What's wrong? Maybe you don't want to let the cameraman inside, so he'll stand outside. Zoom. Okay, some of the good cameras, they can zoom 50 times without losing any distortion in the quality. Why not? When Mashiach will come, I'm willing, who says it's not going to be the case? Hanukkah, everyone will log on, will watch the Kohen light the Hanukkah candles in the Azara. That's Hanukkah. You have to also light candles? Oh, who says you should light candles? Who do you think you are to go light your own set of candles? But when there's no Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen isn't lighting candles, people felt bad. It hurt them. So the Anshei Knesses HaGedoyle established that you should light candles in order to perpetuate, to be mamshich, the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. We're better to light than in shul, because the shul is the mikdash ma'at. It's the mamish, the mikdash ma'at. If the whole inyan, this is a whole chapter is devoted to this, Rabbi Gladstein, is that when we light candles in your home, you're really lighting the candles in the Beis HaMikdash. This is an extension of lighting of the Beis HaMikdash because of the loss. It's like zeichel le'mikdash. When there was a mikdash, they lived in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the bayis, 200 years after Hanukkah came to, after Hanukkah miracle, when the bayis was destroyed, we're mamshich, We're mamshich by lighting in the house. We're better than to, if this is the time of lighting Chanukah candles in general, we're better than to light in the Beis HaKnesses. To light in the Beis HaKnesses mamish. Now, with this approach, there are very big lot of nafkaminas. The lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is mamish equivalent to lighting in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is why the minig is to light in the Beis HaKnesses on the Koisel Doroim, on the southern wall. Why the southern wall? Because that's where the menorah was in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Beis HaMikdash, on the south. Okay, don't get confused that it's, you know, what's confusing is in the Beis HaMikdash, when you were facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the Oroin, it was on the left side. And in the Shul, the Doroim is on the right side. That's not a kasha, because who says we should daven Mizrach? There's no reason why we daven. We just happen to daven Mizrach because we live in America. And in America, to go to Eretz Yisrael, you go east. If you get on a plane going west, you're going in the wrong direction. Unless you want to go around the world to the Pacific. But east, it's not because of right and left. It's because that's where the menorah was in the Beis HaMikdash. Another very important nafkamina. How long do the neros have to be lit in the Beis HaKnesses? So at home, a half an hour. The zehu. In the Beis HaKnesses, the minhag is, it's even la halacha, it should be lit the entire time. The entire, why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, what was the zman of lighting? Not a half an hour. Me'erev ad boiker. From night until morning. There's no limit of a half an hour. Now it's true, once everyone leaves the Beis HaKnesses, you can put out the candles. But as long as people are there in the Beis HaKnesses, there's no rule of a half an hour. The whole rule appears not to apply. Ad kedei kach, and this is very much nogei halacha l'maisa for many, many shuls. They light candles before Ma'ariv, and they daven a very fast Ma'ariv. And it's the candles, by the time they finish Ma'ariv, the candles have only been lit for 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. And the gabai, the shamish, wants to go home. And that means I want to blow out the candles. I don't want to leave lit candles. It's dangerous. I don't want to leave lit candles. Is he allowed to blow out the candles even though they've only been lit for 20 minutes, 10 minutes? Happens all the time. And my man, my father, Shul Yom Yisrael, this is all the time. All the time. They daven, they light the candles, daven Ma'ariv. They only been there for how many minutes? How long has it been lit for? For the most 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Can you blow it out? Even Friday night. Okay, you lie before Minchot. If they finish Shmarv, it's not yet a half an hour after Tzeisak Kochavim. You close up the shul. And the guy is there. Do you tell the guy to blow out the candles? It's not yet a half an hour after Tzeisak Kochavim. So what is the halacha? Many poskim say you can blow it out. Okay, lechatchila, it's a nice thing to keep it lit. But many poskim say you can blow it out. The dinim of lighting the candles in the Beis HaKnesses have nothing to do with lighting at home. At home, you have to light. It's a half an hour for all the various reasons, the Persumenisa, for the Bnei Bayis, the Talmudim. In the Beis HaKnesses, it's a din, it's a different din. It's a din of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Persumenisa. Okay, it has a whole different dimension. And many places consider you are permitted to extinguish the candles immediately. They do not have the requirement of a half an hour, both L'Kula and L'Chumra. Okay, what is the Chumra? What's the Chumra? What do you mean L'Chumra? At home, if your candles go out after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, do you have an obligation to rekindle them? Absolutely not. Kovsa, ein zokuk lo. If the candle goes out, you have no obligation to rekindle the candle. If you want to, you could. No one's stopping you. You know, Chanukah's Chanukah. You know, for the Chanukah party, it looks nice. All the candles are lit. So you light the candles. But al pi halacha, you have no halachic obligation to rekindle the candles. In the Beis HaKnesses, if a candle goes out in the middle of Ma'ariv, middle of davening, you have to relight it. You must. Halacha. You must. You know why you must? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, if a candle went out, they were obligated to relight it in the Beis HaMikdash. Kavsa, zokuk lo. So in the Beis HaKnesses, it's a me'ain of the Beis, it's a din of the Beis HaMikdash. And just like in the Beis HaMikdash, kofso zokuk lo, in the Beis HaKnesses, if it goes out, zokuk lo. So look at that. It has a whole different life. In the Beis HaKnesses, if the candles go out, you have to relight it, as long as people are still there in the shul and they're davening. But once davening is over, you can blow it out, even though it's less than a half an hour. At home, you must have enough oil to last for a half an hour. But if it goes out, you're not obligated to relight it. A whole different set of rules. A whole different set of rules. Another interesting example. Which candle do you make the bracha on? This is the thing with the gra. Now, we all make a bracha. All of us do it the same way. We make a bracha. We always on the leftmost candle, right? You put in your menorah, the first night you put the candle on the right. Right, all the way on the right. And then the second night, you go to the left. You go and you make the bracha on the leftmost candle. The Vilna Gaon didn't do that. Okay, we don't do this. No one does this. I'm not aware anyone. I don't know anyone who does this. Maybe there are people here that do this. Maybe Mayor does this. But most people, when they light the Vilna Gaon, he always made the bracha on the right candle, no matter what. And then, after, because that's the Ikur, that's the main candle, and then he would move to all the way to the left and light from left to right. This is the Minigra. On the eighth night of Chanukah, you make the bracha and you light first the candle on the extreme right. And then you go to the left and you go left to right, the remaining seven candles. The Gra says, though, in the Beis HaKnesses, you always light the leftmost candle. Because in the Beis HaKnesses, it's a different din. It's a different type of lighting. It's not a din of lighting. It has, going to Lumbus, it's a different, just to bring out the point, the lighting of the Beis HaKnesses is in a whole different league. Now here's something which is, I'm telling you something that is totally fascinating, off the charts. I'm so shocked that I never heard the feminist movement talk about this. Where is the Hagdama. In the Beis HaKnesses, this is a very big halachic dilemma. Come to shul, let's talk about, this happens all the time, Friday, Erev Shabbos, okay, already passed. And, you know, your shul, they're going to be, hundreds of people are going to come for Kabbalah Shabbos. But they all have a tendency to come late for mincha. And the minig is, you light the candles before you daven mincha Friday afternoon in shul. Right? In shul, you light the candles before mincha. Daven mincha, and then you go right into Kabbalah Shabbos. That's what they do in most shuls. Because by the time you finish mincha, it's probably already after shkia. So it's too late. So the minig is that in the Beis HaKnesses, on Friday afternoon, you first light the Chanukah candles, and then Ashrei Yoshev Esecha, and then Kabbalah Shabbos. When you want to light the Shabbat Chanukah candles, there are only 5 people in shul. Mincha is called for, make-believe, 4:10. It's right now 4:05. We better get the show on the road. It's 4:05. We're lighting Chanukah candles because it takes 5 minutes. If we're going to light Chanukah candles at 4:10, then we're going to start mincha at 4:15, which is no good. So we're going to now light the Chanukah candles at 4:05. I look around the room. There are only 5 people here. Can I make a bracha? Big, big machlokes. Many poskim, some say yes, some say not. Let's argue, let's for the moment follow the opinion that says no. At home, you can make a bracha, one person, all alone, you can make your bracha, gesunte heden til chatzos, no problems. But in the Beis HaKnesses, that's only a minhag. We've given already 4 different mahalchim for this minhag, 4 different approaches to this minhag, but it's a minhag. You cannot make a bracha unless you currently have 10 people. For persume niso, you need 10 human beings to make this bracha. You gotta have 10 people to make this bracha. Okay, 10 people. If you don't have 10 people, so light the candles, don't make a bracha. Okay, that's Others say, no, even if you don't have 10 people, if 10 people will show up, since we're going to daven minchat for 10, and for sure you're going to get 10 people by then, so you can light now with the bracha, even though the people have not yet come. All right, but some say, no, you have to have 10 people when you make the bracha. Let's now not get into the psak halacha. Everyone does whatever they do. It's not crystal clear what the psak is. I think the meaning is you do make a bracha, pretty much, but that's not necessarily. Let's now make believe we're going to paskin that you do not make a bracha. You need 10 people. Now, let me ask you a question. Do women, is there ever a hechatimsa in the world of halacha for a woman to be part of a minyan? Now, to say kaddish, kedusha, baruch hu, shtavin, no way. Shulchan Aruch. Okay, now, don't blame me. Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, a davar shebe kedusha needs 10 men. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael v'loi b'nei Yisrael. A davar shebe kedusha, if it's kedusha, kaddish, shmona esrei, kriyas haTorah, you need benching, nevarach elokeinu, you need 10 men. Period. No questions asked. Then there is a principle, this we're familiar with to a degree, persume nisa, laning the Megillah. Is there an inyan for 10 women to lane the Megillah? Yes, there is. Taisva says this. Persume nisa is non-gender specific. When it comes to persume nisa, the publication of a miracle, it doesn't make a difference whether you are a male or a female. That's the halacha. Where do we have a hechatimsa persume nisa that you need a minyan for? Well, Mikra Megillah. The truth is, Mikra Megillah doesn't need a minyan. See, that's why it's not really so relevant, because 10 people, when you have 10 people, that's an advantage. Persume nisa. And then maybe the way you lane the Megillah is a bit different. You're supposed to open up the Megillah like a letter, and the Baal Kriya is supposed to stand, and the bracha will be Mikra Megillah, not L'Shmoya Megillah. When you have a minion, then the nature of the laning takes on a different nature. And that would be true even if you combine men and women together. Let's say we have a minyan, we come to lane for a late Megillah reading, and you have in the audience 5 men and 4 women, or any combination of men and women. Since in total you have 10 people, this becomes a minyan. So then there aren't really major nafkaminas. So then maybe the Baal Kriya is supposed to stand, he's not supposed to sit. And the Baal Kriya is supposed to open up the Megillah, and you say Asher. You'll say the bracha at the end, the end bracha, of Kela Rav Esh Rivenu. Small differences. They're very small differences. Women, should they get together now? Should a woman lane for men? Well, that's an issue of tznius for your family, not your family. Let's say it's not a minyan. You still make a bracha. You still make the bracha on the Megillah. That doesn't make a difference. Mikra Megillah. So it's true, there's a difference if you have 10 people, but it doesn't make a difference. Hanukkah is the only time, as far as I know, and I'm so surprised that women never heard people who promote, we live in a world today where, you know, women they run the world. They run the world. They just elected vice president-elect, a woman, first time in the history of the world, right? Yesterday, Electoral College, I congratulated her. Michal's not happy about this. Michal says, not so fast. It ain't over yet.
Whoop-de-doo.
It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. But...
Why isn't it over?
What?
Why isn't it over?
I don't know. I don't know why it's not over.
What did he say?
He wants to know why it's not over. What?
Yeah. Well, you mean Stacey Abrams? Oh, I don't know.
Whatever, but okay, let's not get sidetracked. But the point is, where in Halach can you show me, I challenge you, an area where women can join a minyan where there will be a major nafkamina lehalacha? And the answer is lighting Hanukkah candles in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha. If you're in shul Friday afternoon, or let's say between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and it's time to light Hanukkah candles, and you only have in the audience 10 people, and those 10 people, half of them are men, half are women, or any combination, you can make a bracha. The Mogen Avram says, Beferish. The Mogen Avram writes this. You can make a bracha. Because you need to make, to light candles in Beis HaKnesses is a minhag. And because it's a minhag, we're machmir, we need a minyan, lichatchila. You need a minyan of people, 10 people for Persume Nisa in the Beis HaKnesses. And those 10 people can be even a combination of men and women. So here, if I'm not mistaken, is the only place in the entire Shulchan Aruch that I'm aware of that is practical where a woman can be mitztaref Orthodox Jewry. Where a woman, the Magen Avraham, this says in the big books, Shulchan Aruch, a woman can be mitztaref to a minyan. We need Hoshia Esamecha Verchas Nachlasecha. We need them to be mashlim the minyan to make a bracha on hadlokas nerois in a Beis HaKnesses. Isn't that amazing? Purim, we also hear about this.
Stay behind in the chitzna?
Not necessarily. Why? That's another issue. Behind, they have to be in the shul. They have to be present. They have to be able to see the chanukah candles. They have to be present. The mechitzah is not the issue. There has to be the Beis HaKnesses. They have to be, the Mogen Avraham says, there have to be 10 people, including women, counts to make a minyan so you can make the bracha lahalik ner shel Chanukah. And I know there are other opinions that say that you don't need a minyan altogether. That's not everyone agrees to that. I remember this past Friday, I was in a shul, and the person did not make a bracha. He decided, the rabbi wasn't there, there was no minyan, the candles had to be lit now. In this particular shul, there was no minyan for mincha. They were not going to have a mincha. There's only going to be a minyan for Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv. Only maybe even for Ma'ariv. I don't even know if they have Kabbalah. They didn't have Ma'ariv. There was going to be no mincha, and the candles had to be lit before sunset, and there was not a minyan present. He lit the candles without a bracha. And I told him, some place can say you can make a bracha even if you don't. I told him, you sure you don't want to make a bracha? There are places that say you can make a bracha. You can make a bracha since 10 people will later show up for Ma'ariv. You're confident in them, so you can make a bracha. He says, I know, but we don't do that. We don't do that. If there's no minyan, you don't make a bracha. So you see, but if there would have been 10 women, he would have made a bracha. Unbelievable. Is there anywhere in halacha such a thing where women are mitzarev to a minyan? It's an amazing, 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 amazing thing about women being mitzarev to a minyan. And the Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses. Who lights the Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses? Who lights them? So some say you give it to the Shamash. Why? Do I have to explain? Because who lights the Chanukah candles? The Shamash lights the Chanukah candles. So therefore, it is his mitzvah. It's his honor. You can have a president. You can have a kohen. You can have a billionaire. You can have, I was very disturbed. Rabbi Rabinowitz, he gave these sheikhs, these Arabs, to light the Chanukah candles at the Kotel. Did you see that clip? Now with this peace treaty, just like everyone, all of the Israelis are running to the United Emirates, all of these Arabs are coming to Israel. And they came to the Kotel, and they had a ceremony where he gave them the honor of lighting, I don't know exactly what they were doing there, but they were lighting the menorah at the Kotel HaMaravi. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what they were doing. I didn't get a clear picture.
It must have been something ceremonial.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm sure you did. I'm sure it was.
The mitzvah.
Whatever it was.
The clip out was not at the Kotel. The clip out was at the shul. It had nothing to do with the Kotel.
There was Rabinowitz.
You...
No, it was the Kotel. It was Rabinowitz. Rabinowitz was there giving it. Giving
a clip?
It. Yes, I saw a clip. It was Rabinowitz. He was giving them. Giving.
Maybe he did it middle of the day.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I have no doubt he did it lahalacha. I have no suffix in my mind. And the point over here is, in the Beis HaKnesses, who has Kedima to light the Chanukah candles? The Shamash. Because the shamish, it's the same shamish. Just like we have a shamash who lights the candle, so it's the shamish, he is the shamish of the Beis HaKnesses, it's his. Others say no.
Because nobody else wants to bother.
No, I'm not. That's today. And today we live in the life of Hefkeris. Some say no, you give it to a Kohen. In the Beis HaKnesses, the only one that lights the Hanukkah candles is a Kohen. Are there any Kohanim in the house? This is not a Hefkeris. The lighting in the Beis HaKnesses, the din of the Ki'ilu, you're lighting in the Beis HaMikdash. V'ehi lohem le'mikdash me'at. Who lights in the Beis HaMikdash? A Kohen. Well, halakha is kasher bizar, the hatava can only be done by a kohen. But still in all, it's the domain of the kohanim. You give it to the kohanim to light in the Beis HaKnesses. Very interesting. Another inyan, you light by day. Why do we light by day? Most shuls, the minhag is to light by day. We light Chanukah candles by day in the Beis HaKnesses, by Shachris. Why? It's light outside. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, lefi the Rambam. It's really more svarish and minhag. But the Rambam held that the candles in the Beis HaMikdash were kindled by day as well. At night and by day. The Rambam is a Das Yochid. Most Rishonim say it was not lit by day. It was not done by day. For some reason, the Olam is noig to light it by day, like the Rambam says, by day. Do you light a Shamis by day in the Beis HaKnesses? Very interesting. Do you light by day? Machloikis HaPoiskim. Some say the only reason why you have a Shamish is in case you nene from the lights. By day, there's no issue. So you don't light a shamish. You're not supposed to light a shamish in the Beis HaKnesses by day. Go to your local shul and see what they do by day if they light the shamish. Some say no, loy plug, you light by day as well. The shamish is not just for nene, it's other reasons why you light the shamish. In some shuls, I saw some very beautiful minhagim, but they reveal, when do you light by day? This really appeals to me, this minhag. I like this minhag. And most shuls that I know, they light before davening. Whoever gets there first lights the candles. You don't make a bracha by day. But he cites a beautiful minhag that the minhag is to light the candles before Hallel. The Chanukah menorah by day is not lit. You come, you daven psukah de zimra. You come earlier, you daven brachos, karbonos de zimra. Brichos Kriya Shema, Shemon Esrei, there's no Chanukah candles lit. When you finish Shemon Esrei, Mechobe the Koyen. Who is the Koyen HaGadol in the Beis HaKnesses? Mechobe with the lighting of the Chanukah candles. And he goes up and he lights the Chanukah candles. No bracha, but he lights the Chanukah candles. Ceremonial. Okay, isn't that a beautiful minhag? Today they wouldn't do this. You know why? Everyone's in a rush. No one has patience for anything. So they wouldn't do it today. But that's a very beautiful minhag. When some say you're supposed to light the candles after Kaddish, Yosoim, before you say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Lev the first time, before Pesukah the Zimra. Not by Brachas. You wait after Kribonois, and then when you say, after you say Rabbi Shmuel, Kaddish Yosoim, before you say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, Mechobe the Koyein, to light the Chanukah candles. It's a whole process because it's like the Beis HaMikdash. So some very beautiful minhagim of how to conduct yourself with the Chanukah candles, the Beis HaKnesses. And it's a very bizarre minhag, extremely bizarre minhag. And this probably topic we once spoke about this is that on the night of Chanukah, there's a minhag. There's a very bizarre minhag. If you could explain what this minhag is about, you win a prize. What's the minhag? When the person goes up to light the Chanukah candles at night, before Ma'ariv, the minhag is to throw at him towels. To take a towel, everyone in the shul should have in their possession a towel. Bring a nice beach towel. And you bring it to shul, and as he's about to light, as the shamash, or the gabai, or the koyein, or the rav, is about to ascend the podium to light the Chanukah menorah on the Kosel Doraim, right along near the Ur HaKodesh, everyone pulls out of their pocket, out of their bag, a towel, and they throw it at the Madlik.
Now, I heard of throwing in the towel, but it's to show that they're not Yoytze.
Sorry. Baruch is saying it's to show that they don't want to be Yoytze. That we don't want to be Yoytze with this Hadlaka. A little strange, a little bit violent to show you don't want to be Yotze, right? It's a little bit violent. Okay, that's what the Olam says. That's the reason. But it obviously, there's a lot more to it. I don't know. Once upon a time, we gave a shiur, we discussed this. We had a whole shiur about this. I don't remember. I have no recollection what we said then. But this is a minhag. And have you noticed people, they like to chepe with this. They like to put on like on the websites. Does anyone, they like to, you know, to mention this minhag and to attract all the people from the peanut gallery, the peanut gallery, to go and tell you their two cents, to tell you what's the reason why there is such a minhag. Today we don't do this. Today you don't see this being done at all. It's unheard of. It's sakana. You throw a towel when there's a fire lit. Pikuach nefesh. Today we don't do this anymore. This minhag has become bottled, but this was without question a minhag. Okay, before we wind down, I want to tell you, today is the fifth day of Chanukah. I want to mention to you the uniqueness of the fifth day of Chanukah. What is the uniqueness? It's a very special day today. Chanukah, every day of Chanukah is special. The first day of Chanukah is special, the Shachianu. The last day is special, Zois Chanukah. Shabbos Chanukah, Shabbos. Shabbos is very special. What else is special? The fifth day is special. Why is the fifth day special? So let me give you a hakdama to this. Chanukah, there is no Isser Milocha. You're allowed to go to work. Purim, you're allowed to go to work. When Chazal instituted these festivals, there was a debate. Maybe the festival should be instituted where there's a prohibition to do Milocha. No different than Yom Tov. And they took a vote, and whatever it came out to be, no. Person is permitted to engage in melacha on Chanukah and Purim. Why? So you can tell me 100 different answers. Among the 100 answers, Rabbi Daniel Gladstein, he quotes this answer, which resonates with me very much. It's a very powerful answer. It's not the only answer, of course, and it's not even a good answer. It's an answer that after you have good answers, then you can throw this into the mix. This answer wouldn't hold a candle to Chanukah. But after we have other answers, this answer is a very enhancing answer. When you have a festival, you make Havdalah. When Yom Tov is over, you make Havdalah. Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol, ben Or l'choshech ben Yisro l'an. If Chanukah would have a festival, you'd make Havdalah. Acharon Shel Chanukah. You make Havdalah to a degree that would push out Chanukah from the rest of the year. You would limit Chanukah to only a specific day in the year, a specific time. When you don't have Havdalah, you know what that means? A ganz yor Chanukah. A ganz yor freilich. Purim. When there's no Havdalah, it doesn't end. It keeps on going. You never made a bracha to bring it to an end. I told this to you about Tisha B'Av. When Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, you don't make Havdalah until Sunday night. So do you know what that means? This is what they say in the big books, is that it's a different Tisha B'Av. It's a, make up a word, a Shabbos Dika Tisha B'Av. I told you this before, some Hasidim, they makbid to say kinois, at least at night, wearing their big day Shabbos. They don't, bedafka, you don't take off your big day Shabbos. I didn't say Havdalah. If I didn't say Havdalah, it's still Shabbos to a degree. How could you say kinos wearing big day Shabbos? It doesn't make any sense. Kinos and Shabbos? You're not allowed to. Well, life is not so simple. Life is complicated. Yeah. You can say kinnis wearing big day Shabbos, and you should. You should. Not that you could. You should. That's the approach of many people in Klal Yisrael when it falls on Mitzvah Shabbos. Life is complicated. You can say kinnis wearing big day Shabbos, whatever that all means. It's the same thing Chanukah and Purim. There's no Isra Melocha by design. Because if there was an Isra Melocha that would demand a Havdalah, and a Havdalah, and a Havdalah would separate Chanukah from the rest of the year. the light, the aura of Hanukkah. We want to penetrate the darkness of the whole year. The joy of Hanukkah, it is our desire that it should penetrate the whole year. So there's no Havdalah. There's no Issa Melacha, so there shouldn't be Havdalah. Now I know the answer doesn't sound all that ayayay, enoch and ami. The answer by itself would never hold up. But after we already know that there is no Issa Melacha for other reasons, this answer certainly is something which brings a lot of flavor to the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. Now, take that step a day further. The only day of Hanukkah that can never fall out on Shabbos Kodesh is what? The fifth day of Hanukkah. All the other seven, all the 8 days of Hanukkah, seven of them can fall out on Shabbos, according to the way our calendar is arranged. The only day that can never fall out on Shabbos Kodesh is today, the fifth day of Hanukkah. If the reason why there is no Isser Milocha is in order that it should penetrate the whole year, day five is that day. That's the core. Because day five is the day that must be Chol, no matter what. Every single Hanukkah. This, all the other days of Hanukkah, to a degree, there's no Milocha. Shabbos. Okay, it's Shabbos, not because of Hanukkah. But, you know, Shabbos Hanukkah. It's not just on Shabbos. It's Shabbos. You don't call it a Shabbos. It's Shabbos Hanukkah. Okay, Hanukkah, you're not doing Melacha. You're making Havdalah. But the fifth day, never. The fifth day is pure Chol. And because it's pure Chol, this day, more than any other day, can penetrate the whole year. There's no Havdalah on this day. The core sanctity of this day can penetrate the whole year. That's why the minig is, there's a minig. I don't know if you do this minig. Some do it every day, some don't do it at all. To give your grandchildren money. Kesef. Kesef ya'anes ha'kol what day? The fifth day Hanukkah. Why the fifth day Hanukkah? Who invented this rule? The children invented this rule. Because if you would give your children money on the fourth day Hanukkah, so when the fourth day Hanukkah comes out on Shabbos, so the Zayda says, oh, sorry, this year you don't get money because it's Shabbos. If you would give them money on the third day Hanukkah, so you, oh, this year, the Shabbos, I can't help you this year. But the Kinderlach know this very well, and therefore they decided to make a minhag that you give them money on the fifth day. Because this way the Zayde will never have an excuse not to give them money on this day. Because the fifth day is always going to be a day of Chol. What else about the fifth day of Hanukkah? The fifth day of Hanukkah is the day when Beis Hillel overpowers Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel is the nice guy, right? He's always the nice guy. Rachamim. Beis Shammai is a tough guy. He'll wipe you out, Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, you light 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Why backwards? Keneged the Pari HaChag. To obliterate the Goyim. Obliterate them. Kolin v'holchon. They get less. Every day they have less votes. Their votes disappear. Knock out these votes and that votes. Beis Hillel is very, very generous. Moisef v'holchon. Midas harachamim. Midas chesed. Beis Shammai is Midas Adin. Beis Hillel is Midas harachamim. Beis Shammai starts off 8 candles. 7. So go down the days. On the 50th of Hanukkah, what happens? 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. So if you were from Beis Shammai's team, how many candles will you be lighting today? 4. Beis Hillel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5. Ooh, the 5th day of Hanukkah is when the Midas HaRachamim prevails over the Midas Hadin. The Midas Hadin. Rachamim prevails, a very special day. It's Hanukkah by saying, there's no, you're not allowed to give Hesvedim on Hanukkah. Now I'll give a spadim, so I'm not coming to be Ma'ora Bechi. But you know, today, something very tragic, I'm sure you've already the news, this person, Rabbi Avraham Wolfson, passed away. Rabbi Avraham Wolfson, Baruch Hashem, I got to know him a little bit. He used to daven very often in Or Yitzchak. He davened there very, very often. Avraham Wolfson was a philanthropist. His father was famous philanthropist, and the children go in his ways. He was a very, very big philanthropist beyond what we can possibly imagine. Enormous amounts of money he gave to tzedakah, beyond our wildest imagination. And he was a very humble, simple person. No ears to him. I could talk to him like I could talk to someone in anyone else. You could talk to him like nothing. And he would come to our Yitzchak and would talk to everyone like that. He would have an our Yitzchak. They always gave him shishi, no matter what. No matter what, they gave him shishi. And he was a very nice, pleasant person. He would daven there, he would schmooze with everyone, he would sit to the Kiddush, like one of the guys. And he would learn, he used to love to learn Chofetz Chaim. And he would always invite the boys, and they'd come to his house for a siyum, a little after the Kiddush in the yeshiva, go to his house for another Kiddush. And incredible Baal Tzedakah, gave enormous amounts of money to every organization you can possibly imagine. When a Meshulach would come to his house, he would take him in, he would give him what to eat, he would sit him down. He always would host Gedolim, people that would come from Eretz Yisrael. They would mamish, just like his house or hotel. Goes on and on. He was just a very humble, humble person. He wasn't well for a number of years, but you wouldn't really know it. You wouldn't really know he wasn't well. And it's very sad he passed away today. And the first thing that came to my mind when he passed away was, he passed away on the fifth day of Chanukah. The fifth day of Chanukah is the only day of Chanukah that cannot be Shabbos. And therefore the minig is to give tzedakah, to give money on the fifth day Chanukah.
That's why the Hasidim give Chanukah
gelt. That's what I said. I said that. I made a whole speech. I just said that. And to me, it's not a coincidence that he passed away on the fifth day of Chanukah, because he was an incredible, not just him, his whole mishpacha, for decades, enormous amounts of tzedakah. I know you can give tzedakah beguf. You know, on Shabbos, you also can give tzedakah. You can give tzedakah begufa. But there's something called giving tzedakah with money, okay? Cash is king. It's not for nothing, that expression. But money you can't give on Shabbos. He always gave no matter what. No matter what he gave. No excuses. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, Bashkocha Pratis, is making that known. He died on the fifth day of Chanukah, the day when the Midas HaChesed prevailed over the Midas HaDin. The day when you always give tzedakah, no excuses. May that be for him and his mishpacha, a tzuchus. He's a very good person, very good. It's very, very painful. It's a normal person. I wouldn't even know he was a wealthy person. He was just a normal guy. He used to come all the time, always very animated, always. Very curious. He was very curious about everything, this, that. He was just a lebedika guy. Besides his wealth, I'm not from that league to even know from these things. But you see from the headlines, like, pooh, what you're going to see, you're going to hear about. And it's a chaval. Chaval al da'avdin v'loy mishtachin. And it should be a schus for him. And we should only hear besuris tevis. Abbas, have a wonderful day. Enjoy your Chanukah.
Amen. This is your one of the Shama.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen to Mayor. This is Rabbi Haigon's father was Rabbi Shrira Gon.
Father and son.
Online, Mayor.
Father and son.
Yeah, I'm over here. I'm glad to see you back in Alaska.
Yeah, Reb Shrira Gaon was Haigon's father, just so you know.
Reb Haigon wrote a dictionary. Rami-Hebrew dictionary.
Yeah, but the first person to write all these things was Reb Sadia Gaon. Trouble is, we don't have a lot of this stuff, but he wrote...
Did he have a machloikis with the... Did he have a machloikis with the Reish Galus?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. He appointed...
That's why he went to the Mishnah.
Right. Well, no, he came to Eretz Yisrael to marry when he was 46. He lived the last 14 years. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He went to Pumpadisa. But he lived in Eretz Yisrael.
Where's he buried?
I think he's buried in Eretz Yisrael.
Main Machlokes was over the calendar. When
right.
You should...
Yes. Correct. That's right. Made a big thing. That is exactly correct. Yeah.
What, he wanted 2 days and they wanted 1 day?
No. No, I think they were off by a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole...
He saved the calendar. He saved the calendar. Yeah, that's a famous story with him.
Right.
Yeah. He was an amazing person. It's kedai to really study his life. He was beyond all the going.
A lot of the big Rishonim and things like that had a very secular education, and that's
of course.
Rose to prominence.
Of course,
very, very prominent. They tell the story about one of the rabbis who was trying to impress his congregation when they installed him as the rabbi, and he was talking about. He mentioned some secular things, and he kept talking about the planets. He mentioned Jupiter and things like that. And the people in his town were so ignorant of things like that, they kept saying, who's this Jupiter that he keeps referring to? So someone said, I don't know, but he must be a big rub. So, it's funny, you know. He was
anyway, because today's the fifth day of Hanukkah, I'm willing to accept checks and bitcoins, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
All right.
Or someone who's willing to shovel the snow tomorrow.
Oh, I'm dreading that already.
It's raining?
I'm dreading what's going to be tomorrow. We've been spoiled.
It's going to be fake news.
It hasn't snowed. You know, realize last